They say it so easily, nothing to worry about, Doris, and yet I know they're wrong. When I look back to the first visit to the doctors and he prodded about a bit, I could see the look on his face. Turned the light right on the offending lump and got in quite close. I could feel his breath as he gave it a poke. He studied it like he'd never seen a lump before, then declared to me, although the way he stood back he'd swear he had an audience, "Nothing to worry about, Doris." I wasn't so easily convinced, and I gave him one of my "you don't fool me" looks. I'd heard from Tilly, my neighbour, of a woman who had had her whole leg cut off just because of a little lump. She didn't last 6 months after that. Riddled with lumps, Tilly said. In the end it was a blessing, and I could well imagine it would be riddled with lumps as she was. So I gave the doctor my best shot and asked him to have another look. He seemed surprised that I should dare question his diagnosis. After all, he was the man in the white coat. Dr. Gandy had been treating me for the best part of 5 years, and I'd always trusted him. To be honest, at first I wasn't taken with a foreign-looking doctor delving into my medical ailments, but after Mr. Granville recovered so well from his bronchitis at the hands of Dr. Gandy, I didn't have a bad word to say about him. He always wears one of those turbans and looks very smart in a suit. He has the most disarming smile. I'm sure most women melt, and the way he talks to you with his eyes, well, I feel about 40 years younger. So Dr. Gandy snapped on his rubber gloves and bent down with some sort of poking thing, then began again to prod my lump. He took a good look at it this time, longer than before, and then he said, "Well, Doris, maybe you're right." Well, I didn't want to tell him, but if a person doesn't know their own body by the time they reach 89, they have no right to be alive. I asked him what options I had, and he indicated a biopsy would be a good idea. Beth Carter had a biopsy a few years back, and I know for a fact that it didn't save her one extra month. It's all very well to say biopsy, but that just takes time, and it might be my time they're taking with all their tests. Dr. Gandy came in close to me, then took my hand. "Here we go," I says to myself. He wants to break it to me gently. I remember when Laura Kingston told us she had a lump, she described how her doctor had broken the news, and I could see the exact same thing happening here. He looked at me in the eye and said, "I'll just take a scraping now, Doris, and you can come back next week." Well, you didn't have to ask me twice. I'd virtually lived in the doctor's on and off for the past 10 years. I'm not ill, really. Not seriously ill, like Laura. But they have such an array of pills for everything these days, and they all seem to make me feel better. Not that pills helped Margaret Cummings. She had a pill for everything, and some things she didn't even know she had. Margaret kept them in one of those fancy boxes with all the days stamped on the top. Poor Margaret. Well, they say it was the pills that killed her in the end. She dropped her box, and as she went to pick it up, she fell down the stairs and broke her neck. Anyway, I made my appointment with Jill, the receptionist, for next Tuesday. She wanted to make it Wednesday, but I've bingo in the morning and then seniors club in the Arvo, so we agreed on Tuesday and left it at that. When I think back, I can understand him not wanting to say anything. Needless worry at my time of life. What he didn't realise is that I'd been down this road before with my Alfred. Alfred had a lump. Not big, mind you, but a lump nonetheless. The vet said exactly the same thing. He pinched the lump and prodded about a bit, and like Dr. Gandy said, "Nothing to worry about, Doris." Yet Alfred was dead within 3 months. The vet didn't exactly say the lump caused his death, but you just don't get a lump and wait for it to go away. It was too much of a coincidence for my liking. Dear Alfred had been with me for about 12 years. So I knew what to expect in the way of good news and bad news regarding my lump. Not that I'm really worried. It's just that I wouldn't want to be left in the dark. Evelyn, my best friend, was left in the dark. She hadn't been feeling well for ages, and I said for her to go to Dr. Gandy, but she was a tough old bird and said it was just the weather or her age. Her doctor was part of those new practices where everyone is treated the same. 15 minutes and you're out. Dr. Gandy's not like that. He has the time to listen to you. A real gentleman. And there's not many of them left these days. So Evelyn was sent home with a few pills and no repeat. Not that she needed it. It was only 3 weeks later she passed away in her sleep. Her daughter said to me at the funeral that the doctors should have picked up her condition sooner, but modern times being what they are, they just sent her home and didn't say a word. Evelyn would have seen the sense in my mentioning the lump. I miss her. We used to do everything together. Now I only see Tilly next door. I don't think dying is so frightening at my age. I look back over my life and, well, I did a lot of things and saw a lot of things. If I'm going to die, I'd like to just drop dead at home in my lounge chair watching The Price is Right. That way there's a bit of dignity. Babs McDonald didn't have such an option. After they found her lump, they attacked it with everything known to man. Babs had the chemo, the radio, the this therapy and then that therapy, and then they took to her with a knife. It was shocking the way they cut her up, hunting, searching for the last vestiges of lump. She put on a brave face, we all did at the Sunshine Craft Club, but she only just managed to finish her quilt before she passed away. When I count up the number of friends that have died, I know my name has to be on the list and rising to the top. It's hard to see your past, your shared memories dying with your friends. I'm the only one left who went to the first Easter break at Woolaroo with the Tea Tree Gully Caravan Club. In a way, I'd be glad to finish up. I've done all I needed to do, and it's getting a little lonely when every morning you open your eyes and realise that you have another day to live without your friends. Some mornings I lie in bed and keep my eyes shut, hoping that I've passed on. Being alive is almost a disappointment. Another day. Can you imagine a Hallmark card? Sorry to see you still here. Lucky last. Not so lucky. That's why I'm pinning my hopes on this lump. Of course, I don't want to die in agony, or pain for that matter. But a lump could be just the ticket. Literally.